Checking in again, State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy is here with us. The end of July almost and the end of the legislative session. Tacky, how are you?
Hey Joe, I'm in my office today. We're getting for the last 48 hours of this legislative session, subject to, of course, recall, not really recall, but return to quote on conference reports during the next part of the what next 4 months ish. So we do expect maybe six odd, maybe more conference committee reports that are still pending. As the conference committee members try to work it out between the three House and Senate conferees, including a major bill such as the Economic Development Bill, which we will have to wait to see when that may or may not pop up. Just dawned on me, they might have a little bit of an issue since all bonding requires a roll call vote. We have to come back anyway. They require a roll call vote. So certain bills like the Economic Bond Bill actually by Constitution requires a roll call. So, and all conference reports require a roll call. So, as a result, we're going to be on a basically on-call basis with no schedule going into the next 4 months of the year. And of course, informal sessions continue. And we talked about this multiple times. And you've caught me in the holiday season, trying to move bills out before the close of the formal close of the entire session, which is the day before swearing-in day.
Right. So basically, Tacky, don't plan on going anywhere too far away.
You're not wrong. Either people are going to be skipping votes because they're on family on a trip, as you correctly pointed out. And this is a business where the schedule makes it difficult for long periods of time off. If you've seen me return from a vacation early before, and it's going to grind on the families a little bit if they find out their dad or mom has to cut their time short. And we have a trip to fly back here, and it's at our own expense. There is no campaign account, can't do that, and it's we don't have a business budget. One of the things I did was I went to NCSL, National Conference of State Legislators, AAPI conference, just for the weekend. Left Friday and came back on a Sunday. And other states' legislatures, while they are part-time and they pay lower salaries than we do, actually have business accounts. So they actually give an expense accounts by taxpayers as part of their personal budgets inside the legislatures to go to conferences and things like that. So with us, we don't actually have a conventional business account. I do have stipends in my salary that helps pay for things, my car, my cell phone. I know I can add certain things to my campaign account, but it's just, to be honest with you, a paperwork hassle I just don't want to deal with. In all seriousness, it's just paperwork I don't want to deal with.
Sure. No, I understand.
But idea of car maintenance, personal use vehicles, personal items, that's actually built into my salary structure. But I don't have like a business account where you file with, the business office and get reimbursements. So other legislators do, which I found out talking to them whenever I go to a conference. So again, it's just the reality of how it works. It's neither a complaint nor a compliment. It's just this is how it is.
Yeah, no, I understand. I can understand that too. And in a legislature that lives out like in Longmeadow would be more prone to, ask for transportation allowance than you in Quincy, right?
That's correct. I mean, the wear and tear on vehicles are different depending where in the state. And as you all know, I go to local events and occasionally I go way out of Quincy to visit the folks. For example, I went to Lowell at the request of Representative Hung to visit his small businesses in his district. So, as the chair of a committee, if a member asks to come visit their district for whatever reason, unofficial business, to talk to whomever they would like me to talk to, we do our best to accommodate all members. And sometimes we get a field trip to drive around different part of the state to go see things as part of a committee chair of various industries. And of course, running around at home. Amazingly, when I think about it over many years, I actually use my car more for work than personal. My idea of personal business is getting to the supermarket, pharmacy, and maybe movie theater.
Sure, like everyone, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the extent of that. My really dull life.
There has been a flurry of activity, though, in the legislature this past week.
We have some conference reports ready to come out. We have the so-called Protect Act that we're going to vote on today that better create some data on this undocumented immigrant ICE pickup. But one of the challenges we have is that we don't know where anybody is. We actually prefer it if they are in our county or MCI system because we can account for people. One of the things that you can imagine is that your loved one has been taken custody for whatever reason. Forget about illegal, forget illegal, undocumented, or legal status. Forget that. Imagine you just have anybody's loved one taken by law enforcement, whether it be, state, city, feds, whatever, and then, taken to a facility for holding and then disappears. You don't know where they moved second. And, this applies to our situation on documents. At least family members and their attorney should know where they are. And we want at least that minimal level of accountability so we can identify them and people know where they are. I mean, imagine you had to go through that. So, we have some of that stuff reinforced the state's role regarding our engagement with the federal government. You may maybe not be aware, but the federal government gives almost no notice before they come in, including things like drug busts by the FBI. The local and state police gets like 15 minutes notice. And not to speak of past politicians, but also includes a politician and government officials' corruption investigations. They don't alert the state local enforcement to about 15 minutes before they show up and make the grab. So people have this misconception that the state and local governments fight the federal government. That is a farce. But the reality is that the federal government law enforcement agencies act independently of state and local, unless it's a joint operation as agreed upon in the past. To be honest with you, they don't trust state or local law enforcement. It is really that simple.
Yeah, it must be frustrating because family will reach out to like you as a state rep or their senator or their congressman to try and get information, and you can't tell them because you don't know.
Well, yes, and because they have legal representation too. If you're already in a application process as a refugee or seeking asylum or legal status, or even if you're in a legal status that expired and trying to get the renewal going, because it's not like the federal government moves all that quick. For those of you who have actually helped do federal forms, they're not exactly what I call it, like really good at it. I mean, bureaucratic slowness is an understatement. Your counsel can't find you, and this is a real concern. Going to NCSL Asian AAPI caucus over the weekend, we had a conference, and this is one of our conversations where in other states, and not Massachusetts, but also Midwest states, political affiliations are relevant. Family can't find their loved ones because they just moved them from holding immediately to another location as quickly as possible to keep it very difficult to find. Now, you're like, well, that seems reasonable. If you're that kind of person listening to me, you think that's reasonable. I will tell you that other places that do this includes places like Venezuela, where it is still happening today, where they will take someone off the street, move them to one location, you're unable to find your loved one, and they try to move to a second location before the loved one's able to identify where they are. And you can look up many articles in other countries like Venezuela and other locales where, on their local law enforcement or their government law enforcement, it's a little tricky, right? You have law enforcement and you have like, special police kind of thing. Take folks and then they just, vanish. Even the Maduro regime change, they made a little bit of concessions to the president, but more recently they've stopped and gone back to the old ways. So again, I like to tell people, put yourself in other people's shoes before you make judgment.
So this Protect Act, Tacky, what would it do if if it passes?
Honestly, it does a lot, mostly at least better reporting through our prison systems, clarifies state and local government roles regarding engagement with the federal government in general, not specifically this one issue. To date, no state or local government has taken on cooperation with the federal government on particularly the ICE issue, to our knowledge. And we also do a few things such as providing greater assistance for human trafficking victims. There is a program that the state has with the federal government that still exists regarding human trafficking victims, regardless of legal status. In similar situations, whether it be different kinds of trafficking, I'll let your imagination decide the trafficking type. and also provide resources for that, because some of the more less dense part of the state that doesn't have the resources to manage it, and do some more resource sharing from the larger communities to the smaller communities on that. So that's actually been brought up, at the fact that people tend to overemphasize the denser populations of the state, and ignoring the fact that there are indeed victims of trafficking in more sparse areas of state, and those local areas don't have the resources on how to help provide assistance to those folks, and we need a better statewide mechanism to provide that support.
Oh, okay. Very good. Legislation this week I saw regarding folks with Alzheimer's, I see.
Yeah, we passed a bill yesterday to provide some better training and approaches for law enforcement and emergency responders for people with Alzheimer's and dementia. Sometimes you see a person, you're not sure exactly what the situation is. People generally consider dementia and Alzheimer's a very old person, so to speak. But dementia can set in at a younger age. I think both of us have seen folks with cognitive issues at a younger age, and emergency management and law enforcement identifies but doesn't actually always know how to approach. Similarly, we did this with folks with autism, so-called blue card, a bill we passed
Yes, right.
also
Yep.
earlier. So it's under that same principle of better law enforcement training for identification, so they can properly respond to the situation. Again, like I said, we both of us have known people that have cognitive issues at a younger age that was
No,
on.
there's a term, actually, a medical term, early onset. Yeah.
Early onset, yeah. So I think people like misconceive that it's just a senior issue, and you could be in your 40s and emergency management, emergency medical shows up, and the behavior they're trying to, they can't identify behavior.
Right.
So we do that stuff. We require better regulations and codification. We actually codified some regulations that hospitals and DPH have been working on dementia and Alzheimer's care to create a more uniform system. We authorize and through DPH to set up better regulations on allowing family and loved ones to stay after hours in hospitals, and also to have emergency contact immediately by hospitals when an Alzheimer's or a dementia patient shows up, so their loved ones are notified immediately, or guardian, whatever the case may be, that your loved one is here, the hospital, and this is what the circumstances are. As we've seen through Amber Alerts and other types of reverse 911 text messages, individuals, with dementia, Alzheimer's, early onset may find themselves lost. And your guardian, loved one, caretaker, whomever, gets freaked out for obvious reasons, just
Sure.
any of us would be. And we want a system in place where if it ends up in a hospital or medical care setting, that they can find you right away. So the
Yeah.
working on like to work on that program with DPH, we set up a whole special department who's charged with doing that.
Oh, very good. Okay.
And then we also do some more insurance coverage regarding home care assistance on that area, which is also very important. This is very important bill, as many of us are caretaking. Whether it be a sibling, aunt or uncle, or a parent or grandparent, this type of situation comes up.
Yeah. Speaking of home care, I know there's legislation too to better regulate home health care providers, right?
That one's pending. We're getting rumors around the building that we may see a conference committee report maybe today. Under the rules, we have 24 hours to vote after it's been filed, and when it be 24 hours, 24 hours exactly. So
Okay.
it's filed at 7 p.m. today. We can't vote on it till 7:01 tomorrow
Okay.
or later. So this is, as I pointed out at the beginning of the conversation regarding the on-court notice. We're hoping that when the reports are filed, they give us, a couple of days notice before we have to come back, not like 6 hours notice.
You get paged to come back to the office as you're on your way home, right?
Well, maybe you don't get it because you're on the plane ride.
Oh,
Or maybe you do.
that
Yeah.
too,
So yeah, as you can tell, there's all these scenarios that are coming up regarding the voting for country reports. But hopefully we may see a couple more come out later tonight and vote on tomorrow. But I can't predict how it's going to go in
No,
conference.
obviously, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, and conference committees can get completely side-railed. If the conversation's going well, but the last 10% of the conversation gets side-railed, then the conference committee stalls until they figure out how to get that 10% done. So, a lot of unpredictability here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I saw earlier this week, the lottery is online now, parts of it anyways.
Yeah, well, Sarah Rosa, we've been talking about this for well past 2 years regarding it coming online, and we won't really see good data about whether it impacts brick and mortar lottery contractors, because that's who they are, restaurants and convenience stores and so forth. Convenience stores and sometimes a drugstore have lottery, and we'll know its impact, probably for a full year or two
Right.
when it fully matures. I'm not sure at this. I generally think that people or creatures of habit, they like doing things a certain way.
Yeah.
And you buy your staples, and then you pick up a lottery ticket as part of the process.
Yeah, I think that's true, although it might appeal to younger folks, although I know the age limit is 21 for online, not 18.
Yeah, but it's also trying to create a new type of gambler may enjoy the novelty of it, but may not be a permanent player. So
Right.
one of the things that does happen with sports betting or online lottery or anything else is that there's a novelty factor. You get this initial burst of players, and then as it matures, people who enjoy it will stay. People who like did it once or twice and decided it wasn't for them will move on. And
Yeah.
that takes some time for that to shake out. People under the misconception that if you enjoy gambling, that means you enjoy all forms of gambling. That is not true. You may enjoy slot machines, but you won't touch a blackjack table, or you like
Right.
cards, but you're not interested in betting on horses. It is not exchangeable type of entertainment, and that also applies to addiction. People who are gamblers don't always gamble on the same thing. You may be a Mahjong player, for example, if you're Chinese, but it doesn't mean you're going to go play five card stud.
Yep, no, that's very true. And people are creatures of habit, it's for sure.
Yeah, that also applies to the addiction side.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
So I think, I mean, people have this unfortunate way of looking at it, where it's just everything's interchangeable. It's not. And we'll see if online lottery is interchangeable to other types of gaming, and is it interchangeable to brick and mortar. Well, time will tell.
Any of your bills still in committee, Jackie?
My committee is pretty much cleared out at this point as
Okay.
the chair. I mean, we're down to some late file bills, which will get bills constantly through the remainder of the year.
Oh,
Nature
sure. Yeah.
of my committee in particular is that nature. And we'll have some hearings in the fall. And we have some home petitions. And depending on the circumstances of the home petition, we may do written testimony only
Oh.
because there's nobody else to testify.
I see. Yep.
Those situations, if City of Town wants to speak directly to the chair or the committee staff, we can do that as well. But they need to be in the public setting to do so, we can do that as well. But for the home petitions, we're inclined to do written testimony unless there's some special circumstances. For other
Okay.
bills, we're waiting for it to kind of pile up a little more so I can do one hearing.
Yep.
We'll do like one a week on one bill.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's good time management. Do as much as you can in the shortest period of time. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm anticipating maybe another dozen to two dozen, depending on the circumstances. And as you guys all know, I don't make moans about election cycles. And sometimes people file consumer-oriented bills as they get closer to inside the election season, actually, where that's
Right.
going on now, because they find an issue that comes up door knocking, and they feel need to file a bill right away. And we will see some of those consumer-oriented bills that are generated from people actually campaigning now.
Okay. Did the I can't remember. Help me. Did the energy bill pass?
Energy bills in conference committee.
It's in conference. Okay.
Yep. The House chair of that is Mark Cusack, a good friend from Braintree. So that's still underway, and we'll wait and see how that continues to materialize.
Okay. All right. Some interesting news about the economy this week we can talk about, right? The economy as a whole grew a little bit, not as much as folks had hoped, and interest rates did not change.
Yeah, GDP came in at 1.2%. That's a little light, but also not that surprising given the fact that you had the war in Iran and When gas prices go up, people redirect their spending. As we talked about before, grocery stores on the whole are looking at a shortfall. They're actually looking at revenue decline because people are really tightening their budgets on what they're purchasing and moving down to lower priced items, which has a ripple effect, as you can imagine, through the food industry. With the supermarkets being a retail moving back up the chain on profitability and costs. And the K-shaped economy to be is continually proven. Every economist studying this still reinforces the fact that people at the very high income bracket of top 5% or so is basically supporting the consumer economy. They're basically consuming not quite, but closing on half of all consumption. So you got a very tiny portion of population holding up the whole thing. Well, 95 plus percent of us are trying to hold up the second half, but it's showing a very big gap in spending ability tied to income. And of course, cut to government programs will impact that. So, we already had our experience with SNAP, where 20% of all grocery stores depend on SNAP. But, the president also announced the end of Medicaid Part D subsidies.
I saw that, yeah.
So, if you're getting assistance on your medication through Medicaid, that's being cut, which again will shift costs as any consumer. If your medical bills go up, it's going to shift your costs regarding consumer goods, which we'll probably see more of as we go into the fall period about how much, people can actually spend. And fluctuating gas prices and fuel, natural gas and other fuels is going to make everyone crazy. And that includes your electric bill at some point. In fact, frequency is aggregated, so you won't see a big flux, won't see any flux in your energy bill. But other parts of the state, including industrial customers, may see a massive flux in their energy side of the bill because of the constantly shifting situation in the Middle East.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a big part of it. Inflation came in hotter than the Federal Reserve would like at 3.3%. It's much better than the 4.2% it was 2 months ago. But still, it's big drop, but it's not big enough drop. And we talk about this all the time, but you and I will fit this in a parking book. So we're very aware of this. And then you also look at the Federal Reserve, Chair Walsh, a second press conference, they not leaving short-term interest rates alone. That's not a surprise. But what is a surprise is that three members out of 12 of the board voted to increase rates, which means it's more than three.
Right.
So as part of the conversation and debate on the board, people may decide to change their minds, like anybody will, as they debate, because just because you're the chair doesn't mean you control the votes. They're talking among themselves, trying to figure it out. And inflation continues to be an issue where going into the beginning of Trump administration, inflation looked like it was slowly coming under control. And of course, now we're into year two of the administration, it's now spiked on up. So it's kind of one of those things where the public was enjoying a slowly declining inflation rate. Now we're seeing an uptick in inflation rate. So it adds pressure on all of us because it's just so inconsistent. And
Yeah.
Walsh's biggest statement was, the goal of the Federal Reserve is not just talk about jobs, but also try to get price stability. And he talks about it, but like all Federal Reserves, they're always going to be 1 month behind because of the nature of the data. It's always 1 month behind the data. So he's going to be in the same position of people, Jerome Powell and everybody else before him, that all get criticized by everybody in the public, that they should have reacted faster because some reason they can predict the future.
Well, yeah, obviously the stock market was looking for some action because it tanked yesterday.
Yeah, everyone's 401ks and your personal brokerage funds have is now reaching that rocky road after enjoying a very strong first half of the year. You're either in somewhat of a decline, you're in stagnation. And a lot of it's been driven by obviously technology and AI.
Right.
And one of the reasons short-term rates is very important for big businesses, not just you and I, is because of revolving credit. And if you take a line of credit on the short side, you're paying your short-term rates, which is the higher interest, the high interest. Well, it's actually not that high compared to the other side. 10 years at 4.6 and climbing percent. So, on the other side, it's like 3.7 to 3.9, depending on what you're looking at. So, but I mean, still, it's a short-term rate. It still adds to your cost of trying to do short-term rolling credit. And it doesn't matter if you're a tech giant or you're a smaller business, mid-sized business needs temporary credit to just get by a few weeks or a month. Those short-term interest rates do matter. And if you rack track up those rates on the short side, it doesn't just increase your credit cards, but also increases, mid-sized businesses as well as mega corporations' ability to borrow short-term.
I think at least some investors were looking for a hike or a talk about a rate hike just to slow things down, but no such luck.
Well, three of them already said that they want to do it, and they were Federal Reserve bankers, head of the local of the Reserve banks that want to increase rates. So this conversation is far over. There's Woods Hole coming up where they do the retreat in August, and experts, other experts in on the economy, but to have a conversation. And the last time they had a conversation with Hole in 2022, that resulted in a massive market drop because they were actively discussing rate increases on a plan to curb inflation. So we'll see how it goes. We all know it's an election cycle again, particularly for Congress. And the president doesn't want to see massive shocks to the economy because it just hurts the party of power, because voters generally take it out on the party in power in Congress if there's shocks to the economy. Unfortunately, I think most voters should understand their current economic situation and how the party in power is dealing with that right now. It doesn't seem like they're doing a whole lot.
Right, and the Iran situation is just adding to that uncertainty.
Yeah, I always say this over and over again, which I find interesting, is that, well, Democrats are accused of taxing you and spending. Republicans just spend.
I think I saw $37.5 billion so far for the Iran war.
Yeah, they just spend. There's like no revenue component to their spending. They just spend. And I think that's always kind of the funny thing about talking about negative aspects of both political parties, is that one actually spends, but we try to find money to spend with. The other one just spends. And there's no other part to that conversation. And that translates to a monstrous deficit, which under this president, the promise from the Republican Party and the president was going to do deficit control by controlling spending. Instead, they cut human services, cut state assistance. We just found out yesterday from the administration that that we're no longer going to get our funding for FEMA from past natural disasters that we were approved for. And we're not sure what we're going to do about that just now. But this is how they're saving money, where there were commitments made to help us on FEMA, which actually paid by a lot of folks listening on your flood insurance. FEMA is part of the flood insurance, not just taxpayer dollars. And we just got word from the Healey administration that the federal government is basically suspending funding for past committed FEMA assistance programs.
Oh, how much does that mean for Massachusetts?
Hang on. I will tell you in one quick moment to bring up the text message. We're looking at 7.1 plus $1 million, right? Communities are affected the most, like Gloucester, Howe, Mance, Marshfield, Nahant, Quincy, Rockport, and Scituate. They are caused from repairing damage from past hurricanes, especially Sandy and other, tropical storm nor'easters, etc. So it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it's a lot of money. We're going to be short 7.1 million dollars to these communities that affect us in Quincy as well. So,
What does that mean? Is that like seawall money, things like that for
seawall
Quincy?
coastal repairs, everything else, and it's money that's spread out. It's not like they could dump a big chunk of change on us right away. They give it to the state gives it to local governments.
I see.
So, there's a very simple example of the Trump administration having direct impact on the city of Quincy. As a homeowner, you probably don't see it directly. But city government has to know, deal with the fact that they can't, they relied on FEMA money for, paying off bonds or whatever on past repairs, and now that's not going to happen. And
Is
we're
that
not.
money that's been spent and they were waiting for reimbursement or
Well,
not
you
yet?
kind of have to spend money if your seawall is down. It's not like you leave the damage behind waiting for FEMA money to come up. You have to deal with it right away.
All right, so you have to find another source to pay that off then, right?
Yeah, the word from the Healy administration is they're trying to figure it out now. As we said over and over again, we've really tightened the budget, preparing for a potential October 1 federal government storm on program cuts and other things. And once we get those solid numbers, we'll see how much money's left
Yeah,
in
it'll be
term.
October, right? Somewhere at the end of October.
October 1 is when the federal government fiscal year begins.
Okay.
So, we're holding a lot of money back right now,
Yeah.
trying to get ready for whatever's coming along, including,
Yeah.
which I said, $7 million, which I'm sure is going to be have to be part of some reserve account spend down the road.
Yep. But there were no, I don't think there were any gubernatorial vetoes in the budget, were there?
There were none.
Yeah.
We pretty much kept it very tight. Both branches try to keep it as close or as they can to the governor's numbers. But even folks like myself, with the speaker in the district, looked at earmark reductions. So most of us got a little bit of something, but all of us took a bit of a shave. And just because
Yep.
I live in the same district as the speaker, it doesn't mean I was immune from the shave.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand. Yeah, I think I read Quincy's getting an extra like 2.2 million in local aid this year.
Yeah, that's part of the formula. Predominantly, local aid is driven by Chapter 70 funds, which is the Chapter 70 formula, which we've completed the 7-year component of that. The continuation of that formula will move forward until we do another change down the road. So it's about $79 million, just two things. It's unrestricted local aid, about 24-ish million.
Yep.
And the remainder is about 45 million. Plus, that gets you almost 70, it's actually slightly over 79
Yeah.
dollars.
For school department, right? The
Yeah,
education.
just for schools and unrestricted. Unrestricted means you can spend whatever you want.
Right.
Chapter 70 must go to schools. And it does. I was looking at the cherry sheets the other day. Just we're talking about including things like reimbursement for veteran services. Like we spend $1 million on veteran services in Quincy. We spend money on reimbursement on abatement programs for real estate in terms of persons who've blind or veterans, for seniors on a real estate abatement. We reimburse a part of that as well. It's not 100% city reimbursement, city covered. So there's a lot of little things going on. And we also got some money for hazmat for the fire department, again on training and equipment. There's like $55,000, $54,000 specific for programming at the elders a senior center. We put down about 50 grand for the Quincy High School baseball practice fields. So, we spread a bit of money out there by earmarks, not just through the local aid formulas and other support services you may not know about. Like, for example, we support the Thomas Crane Library. We actually have a line item for library. We have charter school reimbursement, right? We have that too. So, when you add all that money up, it starts to compound, not quite $100 million, but it starts to really build up. And other facilities that you may not be aware of is like the New England Aquarium's Marine Life Rehabilitation Center is actually located in Quincy in the Fall River. So, we support marine life and ecological support, through the state budget as well. So it's really kind of a lot of programs that you may not be aware of, whether it be a nonprofit agency or city government, that we find more money the best we can. Beyond just basic city functions where the library, veterans, other things.
Yeah, that's the Turtle Hospital you're talking about down at the shipyard.
I have visited Turtle Hospital.
It's neat, actually. It's a neat
It is,
place.
I agree, it's very cool.
Yeah.
They also rehab other marine life too there, depending on the circumstances. So it is a wonderful facility.
Yes, it's fun too. If you can prearrange a tour, they'd be happy to show you around and see the turtles swimming around in those huge tanks down there. It's kind of neat.
It is very much so. So I think there's a lot of things that we don't always get a lot of attention as state officials is how much we support our local government as well as all the other good causes in the area.
Sure. Any getting any sense yet for how like all this activity 250 FIFA is going to impact the state this year?
Well, a lot of that economic activity was right into the month of July.
Yeah.
10 July. Today's only the 30th of July.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So I suspect sometime in September, we'll probably see the impact on that. If people can, if they want, they can look at the Department of Revenue's website regarding meals tax revenue. That's actually a very good indicator of how well we did regarding the various events this summer, where folks from out of state come in and spend their money.
Right.
So the two areas you can look at is the hotel taxes, which go straight to city and towns, and the location is the meals tax. And do a year-by-year comparison. So that data should be coming up sometime like by mid-month, maybe the second week of August at the Department of
Okay.
Revenue. It's all
Yeah, I'd
public
be curious.
record. Yeah, just Google it up, you can find it.
Yeah, be curious to see if that at least offsets some of the problems from the federal side.
Yeah, agreed. Maybe it'll help out a little bit of our revenue going to FY27. But then again, if we have a shortfall because we don't get great tourism during leaf peeping October, that could be challenging. And if people are really strapped up, Christmas could be tough again.
Sales tax holidays coming up. I think it's the third weekend in August. Is that right?
It's the weekend of the 8th and the 9th.
Okay.
So,
Second weekend. Okay.
yeah, so 8th and the 9th, we've already budgeted in. The sales tax loss as a result of sales tax weekend provides a small economic boost to local retailers. It is capped at $2,500. So you can't buy like a car or a boat with this and get a sales
Right.
tax rate. It's very popular, especially going back to school supplies. It does apply online. The online retailers should know if you purchase that day that there is no sales tax. Hopefully they know that. But it's, applies to both aspects. It should be applying online because I've done this before in Amazon. It has applied online. And see how it goes. I actually do not know exactly how much we budget in on the revenue loss and sales tax as a result of this, because the very quirky nature of this economy this year. I don't know if the sales tax will be sufficient to increase spending during those few days. You could look at like a $40 million loss, you can look at a $60 million loss. I'm not entirely
Right.
clear how this is gonna work because
Right.
as we talked about 20 minutes ago, the economy is just so unstable regarding the basically half the economy is driven by 95% of the population.
Yeah, it's not following the rules by any means.
No, it's not. Generally, 95% of the population consumes like 75% of spending.
Right. Yeah, it should be more evenly distributed than that. And it's, we're not even we haven't even talked about the impact of tariffs and what's happening with those that extra funds, and why isn't that offsetting the federal deficit?
Yeah, the market and the public has kind of yawned at the president's second tariff run at 10%, for another bunch of countries claiming they have forced labor practices. So we've done this before with China, for example, regarding the Muslim population in China, where they're basically being put in forced labor, particularly Uyghurs. This is an ethnic subgroup in China. And the Biden administration has slapped tariffs based on forced labor. We've done this with other countries as well. That the administration feels that there's rises the level of serious concern, they'll do the forced labor tariff as kind of a punishment in those countries to behave better regarding how they use their labor. Some of these countries are first world countries, which I don't know if the Trump administration is evidence of forced labor in these countries, and I think that's what's going to be tying it up in the courts. So it's very interesting how the markets and the public has kind of yawned away these new tariffs, anticipating the court is going to intervene. And in some ways, we kind of gotten used to it, but we haven't gotten used to it at the same time because, I buy less, you buy less. We just kind of accept that's where we are right now. And I always remind folks the group that takes the hardest hit on this stuff tends to be Asian Americans because the products imported from Asia, particularly foodstuffs. It's quite expensive. I mean, the bag of rice is quite expensive right now compared to what it was 6 years ago. So, certain demographics, are hit harder on tariffs than others, because of essential staples.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's true. Yeah, they think about it for, it's they're not, you're not going out buying pasta and cereal.
Yeah, you're buying rice, soy sauce, and fish sauce, and that's
Yeah.
off predominantly imported goods.
Interesting. Has the state budget taken into account what if the ballot question that gets rid of legal recreational marijuana goes away?
No, we'll cross
No.
that bridge when it comes to that bridge. I mean, a lot of marijuana taxes is really kind of leveled out. We
Okay.
discussed in the past about the fact that there's a saturation point for customers. And given the fact we highly regulate the controlled substance, because marijuana is a controlled substance like alcohol and cigarettes and other things, it's still having a challenge meeting a price lower than the black market.
Okay. That's still yet unknown still.
It's no different from other states. Everyone's
Yeah.
kind of in the same boat. You reach a customer saturation rate, plus you got the black market price, and people in this like bizarre impression that half the population smokes pot or eats gummies, and that's false. It's always find it fascinating, the marijuana argument, because the pro-marijuana folks thinks that there's like this billions of dollars tax money sitting out there, and they'll stare at them like from where, because it doesn't reach a certain saturation point of like everyone else. And there are industry folks, particularly in alcohol industry, that thinks there's massive substitution between marijuana and alcohol. And there's some proof to that in certain generations. But you can also discount the fact that you got a younger generation that is more health conscious at the moment, that it reduced the alcohol consumption. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go to marijuana.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. So much to think about. So little information to go on.
Well, you can't see what's going to happen until it actually happens. I just know stuff based on past experience because I do a lot of regulatory stuff in the nature of the committee. I do understand a little bit about customer behavior, as you can tell. There is, there, again, there's only so much to go around in terms of dollars, and we'll see where we go.
Yeah. Legislation regarding we talked about this before, Tacky, these electric bikes and scooters and mopeds, is that still in committee?
That's actually in part of the economic development bill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, last time we talked about it, fortuitously the next week we talked about it. It was like,
That's
hey,
right.
guess what, Joe? So that's sitting in the economic development bill. There's a lot of stuff in the economic development bill, public policy, which I kind of scratch my head if it is or is not economic development. For example, the Senate put a lot of criminal justice reform into the economic development bill. Yeah, I know. You give me that look. Yeah, I know. I had that look too. Look,
Okay.
I don't know. But it's the Senate. I can't speak for the other branch. But that's kind of the challenge of economic development, because it's become this real melting pot of random public policy that the conference committee has to work out exactly how much they're going to keep and how much they're going to get rid of.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, that'll be a discussion point for the fall.
Well, when we get a cash report, hopefully I'll have more to tell you what it looks like.
Okay. Well, be sure and call me immediately so we can do a quick tacky talk about just that, I think.
Well, as you all know, just because the session's ending doesn't mean we don't continue a conversation once a week or every 2 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, because we still have to see tacky on vacation. We tacky in a bathing suit. No, that'll never
That
happen.
is never going to happen.
At least not in the water.
Well, as we all know, I'm not a big fan of being in the water. That is very true. In the off season also, hopefully I'll get a bit of time off. As you all know, I've been in a lot of stress the last couple of months, and that's still undergoing the stress. So well, also we got opportunities to see where we are on things that get into conferences. I mean, the National Conference State Legislators Energy Committee, I'm still on to have a conference in early. No, it's middle of November, for example. Then I'd like to actually get to. I missed the last one because of the nature of what's going on with my family at the time.
Certainly, yeah.
So those are the kind of things that are educational that I really need to get off my duff and see and visit, because as we've discovered, Zoom is great, but I love having my sidebar conversations in places where it's over a snack or coffee or lunch. Or grab someone, 15 minutes in the hallway to talk about topics that you can't do in Zoom. You can't substitute that kind of opportunity for spontaneous conversation, because sitting, you have a thought like, oh, Yeah, and then the presenter makes themselves available after the presentations are done, and you can get little sidebar conversations and these questions. So as much as everyone loves this virtual world, tapping the chat boxes in the side while doing a present, listening to a presentation isn't the same as taking advantage of talking to folks during a break.
Yeah, no, there is no replacement for a one-on-one human interaction. Even in today's world of AI, there's just no there is no substitute for that.
Yeah, agreed. So I would like to do that, and given the circumstances, home has changed. It does free up some time for me to pursue those things, which honestly, I didn't realize how much I was afraid to leave the house.
Yep, it's a new world. Yep.
Yeah, for me, it's a very new world, and I should take the opportunity to try to sadly discover time to do things like I maybe would like to have done for the past decade plus, decade and a half that I couldn't
Sure.
do.
Any local in the district things you'd be? I know August Moon's coming up soon.
Yeah, there's not too much else going on, this coming weekend other than sales tax weekend. I'm trying to think if there's anything particular. There's nothing particular going on in the next couple of weeks that I can think of. I'm sure there'll be some more events down at Kilroy Square. The farmer market's still going on. The mayor does a great job on family events through the summertime. So I'm sure there'll be some stuff in front of City Hall again.
Yes, there's a 70s and 80s dance party in August.
Yeah, they do a wonderful job with that.
Yes, yeah. And still plenty of stuff going on in Wollaston Beach, too.
Yeah. Oh, Wollaston Beach. Let's talk about a little about that. We had a delegation and councillors in the city collectively had a conversation with the deputy commissioner of DCR about their really bad job on notification of residents regarding sidewalk repair. Now, we all love sidewalks. However, you should let residents know you're coming to do your sidewalks, and we are very, very disturbed and disappointed by the lack of notification, which the sidewalk repair will go from the length of Quinshaw Drive right to C Street. And when you get past Furnace Brook Parkway, it'd be both sides of the street, C Street down to sidewalk placement. So for those at the end of Quinshaw Drive southbound, it is coming your way probably sometime in 2 months. If you are listening to this, please tell a neighbor. We are very unhappy at the state delegation as well as the city and the councilors about poor notification. We'll restrain from certain words I use during the meeting. You can imagine yourselves about this process. While we're happy to doing it, neighbors, residents need to know sooner than a few days that they're coming, so they can prepare, their driveways and everything else about how to manage that. But also, as part of the sidewalk repair, they're replacing the electric conduits underneath it. We are working on the streetlight problem endlessly, it feels like. And one of the problems is that the electrical conduit, it's actually owned by the DCR, but the poles are owned by National Grid. And the electric conduit problem, because the nature of being on a beach, has been an issue. As part of the sidewalk replacement repair, they've going to repair all the underground conduits along the way. So hopefully, this is a good first step on replacing the streetlights along Commercial Drive to get them up and functioning. Furnace Brook Parkway is going to be a conversation I need to have in August about that. And it was also brought to us the concerns by Marymount residents and other Wollaston residents regarding speeding trucks and other issues associated with traffic issues, which we've talked to the state police about. And I'm going to have another conversation with the state police. On trying to increase presence. I can't have a trooper sitting there all day or 24 hours, but if we have increased presence, it generally will deter poor driving behavior. And the street lights are signaled during the summer period intentionally to slow traffic down by activating the pedestrian lights. And that's been the case since I worked for Michael Morrissey on the signalization of Quinshaw Drive. But they slow traffic through signalization for pedestrian walks. So that continues as well. You may not have noticed it, but that actually is the reason we got this kind of start and stop potential drive. You live with it long enough, you never notice it. So we're not happy. So
Did they give an excuse at least?
the excuse was inadequate. The excuse was that this is based on past practice. And our response was that is not an excuse.
Okay. All right. Did they pledge to fix that?
Yeah, they need to do this better job in the future, but in the near term, we're kind of stuck. So we're not happy, obviously. We expected better from a DCR commissioner that's a former mayor, and the deputy commissioner is a former town administrator. So honestly, I had expected better.
Okay. Great. Well, hopefully we've helped get the word out here.
Yeah, I hope so. And if you hear this and you're living Crenshaw Drive, please, share with a neighbor and the delegation, the council's not pleased. I'm restraining my level of displeasure, voice.
Yes. Tell the DCR that they can use QATV and local heritage media to get word out to the community.
Yeah, we'll let them know. I'm working really hard to restrain my unhappy voice.
All right, I won't taunt you anymore because we might have to edit
Yeah,
that
no, we really need to get some self-control over here.
out. You're doing an excellent job, Jackie. Of course, I can't see your hand, so I don't know what you're doing.
Well, it is Zoom, so let's just leave that alone.
Okay. And with that, we come to the end of our conversation today.
Sure. I do want to extend some condolences to the DeBona family out in Hell's Neck. Dave DeBona has passed away. Dave DeBona Jr. Passed away this week. He's the head of the Housing and Community Council out there, and always been a great community person, but also a great neighbor and supporter and helpful person to everybody in the city, but especially in his own neighborhood. And I got to know Dave a little bit more over the last several years and really admire him and how humble he is regarding how he does things. And I can sympathize with the family situation because he's passing young, and Terry is being left behind as a young wife, as young widow, as well as the children. So I do have some familiarity, as regarding the circumstances. So my heart really goes out, and feel terribly. But he was a great guy, never took a victory lap, so to speak, kind of person. And just gets out there and gets the job done. So my condolences and my heart's with you to the DeBona family on this really hard time. And with that, we are in the State House, as you can tell, especially the next 2 days in room 42 of the State House. We are staffed. You can reach us at 617-722-2370. 617-722-2370 is the landline, tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, tackey.chan at mahouse.gov. My emails is drowning in the last minute attempts to get bills out of committees. We have State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook, as well as the Instagram that goes with it, tackychan.org. My staff has informed me there's another monster update coming to the website. They're like, some of these pictures are old. We probably should move them off. I'm like,
Okay, we'll look
oh.
forward to
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you're right. We probably should move some of those pictures out and
that.
update some of our information so we get more modern.
Tacky's high school graduation picture.
Yeah, we really don't need that up there. You're not wrong with some folks in this building about that. So tacking.org is going to have a massive update. It may be offline every so often as the update continues. So you'd be warned that the website might be down depending on where we're updating.
Okay.
MLHstateshow.gov is up. So again, I encourage people to look at that to our website to create account, follow bills, follow formal informal session and committee hearings. Said multiple times over and over again, there'll be informal sessions. You can watch those. It might be a few minutes or they could be a few hours, depending on what's going on. But informal sessions. And then we have here in Joe every week or two at QATV at QATV.org. Anything you guys want to talk about does not have to be about politics or public policy. It could be about movie or sports or cooking or whatever you like to talk about. And if someone doesn't like what you sent in because we're trying to accommodate folks, well, I'll let Joe know too that you didn't like that viewer's ask. So
That's
trying to create
right.
some controversy here, folks. We're trying to create
Okay,
some stimulating new conversation. So send Joe along at QATV at QATV.org if you want to listen to something different. And of course, check out Joe every morning as this 10 a.m. newscast, giving you an update in things Quincy and around the world.
excellent. Next time we talk, it'll be August.
It'll be more than half the year is done, and we can talk a little bit about the shakeout, what's going on in the next 2 days.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks very much, Techie.